Chapter 3. The Winos Club bikers were good companions on the road, and it was nice to have the extra eyes. We were able to avoid a large dino when a biker spotted the telltale sail near a farm, and another biker led us on a trail around some downed trees and power lines. Near Balderton, we spotted a trail of thick black smoke in the sky, and everyone assumed that the city hadn't survived a dino attack. Dave suggested a couple of ways around, and then sent two bikers on ahead to see which alternate route might be easier to navigate. The riders returned quickly, and Dave signaled everyone to stop. I pulled up next to him and waited for the riders, since it was obvious from their expressions that there was something other than a dino attack behind the smoke. The rider stopped in front of Dave, and the younger one, a guy in his 20s covered in tattoos, raised his sunglasses.
"It's not a dino attack," the rider reported. "Not directly, anyway. They've started a bonfire."
"Smells like a barbie," the other rider added. "Not sure what they're burning, except maybe a dino they killed."
"Looks like most of the town is here," the young guy added, "including a priest, so it's probably okay."
"What about the alternate routes?" I asked. "If everyone's at this bonfire, it might be easier to go that way. No one'll see us."
"One of them is blocked," the young guy replied. "Building fell across the road. We could still use the other one, but we'd have to ride single file."
"We'll stay with the main road," Dave decided. "It'll be faster, and maybe we'll get some fresh meat out of it."
The others laughed, though I wasn't so sure about the locals myself. It seemed harmless enough to burn the body of a dino you might have killed, and even made sense in a way, since you wouldn't have to worry about the smell of decaying meat attracting more dinos. I felt unsettled, though, for reasons I couldn't explain. And when I looked at Becca and Haywan, I could see that my two girls looked doubtful as well.
"Do we really want to drive by the locals and interrupt whatever they're doing?" I asked. "I mean, they probably won't welcome a biker gang right now."
"When do they ever?"
Dave laughed.
"It'll be fine. They know not to mess with us. We've had a dust-up with the local constable before, and he came out of it the worse for it."
"Maybe that's a good reason to avoid them,"
Haywan suggested. The bikers all laughed, and I glanced at the girls again. Maybe we could find the other road ourselves and figure out how to get back to the highway. But it would be faster to travel with the Winos Club, and there was something to be said for our numbers. The fact that the gang already had a local reputation might work in our favor as well. Maybe it would be enough to keep the locals away as we drove through their town. It certainly seemed safer to stick with the bikers for the moment than to go it alone.
"We'll just go by quickly," I said. "We won't give them a chance to delay us."
"Ha! As if they could,"
Dave snickered. The gang started forward, and as promised, in a field near the edge of a town, we spotted the large bonfire that smelled like a summer barbecue. It was an impressive display of fire, and I noticed that at least someone had the good sense to suggest that a few people have fire extinguishers handy. The flames roared and swallowed what looked like a dino tail. A moment later, another man drove a bulldozer toward the flames and tipped the back half of a cow into the flames.
"Oi," Dave complained as he brought the gang to a halt. "Everything will be burned to a crisp in that."
"I think that's the point," I said. "Get rid of the corpses before another dino smells them and comes to investigate."
We watched for another moment, and then the bulldozer returned. This time it tipped out the bloody remains of a woman, and I heard both Haywan and Becca gasp.
"Maybe we should move on," I suggested.
Dave looked unsettled as well, and he raised his hand to signal the rest of the gang. We started forward, but the point where we had to pass the bonfire was close to the road, and as we drew near, several of the locals ran into the road and started to wave their arms.
"Wait! Wait!" the priest called out. "Do you have news?"
The priest was in his 60s with white wavy hair, soft brown eyes, and a pair of black framed glasses that looked like something from the 1950s. He wore black pants and his collar, and he carried a Bible in one hand. He smiled at us, though there was an air of desperation about him.
"Do we look like the newsy types?" Dave demanded.
"But you've been traveling," the priest pointed out, "and you've always brought tidbits before."
"You remember us," Dave said.
"You're hard to forget," the priest said, "even if we never did learn your names."
"There's not much to say," I cut in. More portals are opening and more dinosaurs keep appearing. The military has taken over the power plants and cell towers, but they're not sure how much longer they can hold on. Towns have all been cut off from each other and the cities aren't faring much better. As I'd spoken, more locals had walked over, and they listened to my short report in rapt attention. A few nodded, and one older woman sobbed, but most looked unsurprised by what I had to say.
"The last person to arrive from outside the village was nearly a week ago," the priest said. "A young couple trying to get back to London. They'd gone to visit friends for the holidays and were trapped."
"Did they leave, or are they still here?" I asked. The priest hung his head, as did several of his parishioners.
"I'm afraid they never left," the priest replied.
"Was that the woman you were adding to the fire?" Dave asked.
"No," the priest said. "That was Sally Mika. She was killed by some of those small, ravenous beasts. Her husband was able to beat them off, but she died of her wounds before the doctor could save her."
"Why didn't you bury her in the churchyard, if she was one of yours?"
"We did that in the beginning, but some of the dinosaurs seem to be able to smell the corpses even once they're buried. Burning is the only thing that works."
"Good to know," I remarked. "We'll have to remember that. Well, we don't have any more news, so we'll just be on our way."
"Stay for a drink," the priest suggested. "We have some ale left, which we were going to enjoy once the work here is done. And Mr. Staunton has opened up his wine cellar, so we'll have some nice bottles for those who prefer the grape."
"Ale, you say?" Dave said with sudden interest.
"Seems like a good time to bury the hatchet, as it were," the priest replied. "And to be charitable, even though we have so little ourselves."
"Having trouble finding food, are you?" Dave asked. "Most are."
"Well, we do what we can," the priest replied. "But you'd know more than we do. You've obviously found something to eat."
"We might have raided a few places," Dave admitted, "but it weren't like anyone was there. What about the cow you just tossed in?"
"I'm afraid we've learned the hard way that it's unsafe to eat animals that have been killed by certain dinosaurs," the priest sighed. "Their spit can be poisonous to humans."
"Good to know," Dave replied.
"So you'll stay?" the priest asked.
"I think we'll keep going," I said as I looked toward my girls. "We've already had to take this long detour, and we might not even make it as far as we'd like today."
"I think we'd like to stay for a pint," Dave said.
"You'd be smart to stay as well. Who knows what you might encounter on your own?"
"We did well enough before we met you. I think it's you who would be better off sticking with us."
"There's room for all,"
the priest said grandly, though I noticed his gaze drift toward the packs on the backs of our bikes.
"No, thank you," I said politely. "We're bound for Newark."
"We'll catch up with you," Dave said. "We'll just have a quick one and then be on the road again."
"You should all stay," the priest said more forcefully.
"No, we'd rather keep moving," I insisted. More locals had arrived by then, and the road through the town was effectively blocked. Dave looked curious, though not alarmed, and the rest of the bikers were bemused. I caught the priest eyeing our packs again, and I wondered just how low the supplies in the town really were. I also wondered if the young couple trying to return to London really met their fates in the claws of a dinosaur.
"We don't have many supplies," I said. "Mostly just stuff to keep us dry."
"It's more than some of us have,"
a local with a bushy mustache replied.
"Are you bloody serious?" Dave guffawed. "Are you really trying to rob us?"
"If you'd just taken the offer, none of this would be necessary," the priest said sadly.
"What, did you drug the ale?" I asked. "Knock everyone out so you could paw through their belongings? And then what, kill them before they wake up?"
"No, no, no," the priest said quickly. "We haven't killed anyone."
"Just drove them out of town and left them lying in a field somewhere to be eaten by the dinosaurs if they don't wake up soon enough, or to wander around until something else kills them. That's what I would bet."
"You can get off those bikes of yours,"
the mustached man snapped.
"Your stolen bikes."
"We were not."
"You're a bloody idiot if you think we're getting off our bikes," Dave replied.
"I knew there was a reason I hated this town."
"And this town hates you,"
someone called from the back of the crowd. Dave was ready to lead the charge through the growing number of locals, and while the gang could probably make it through the first few rows easily enough, these ordinary people looked desperate enough to try pulling the bikers from their rides. If they did manage to land a few bikers, I was sure that the Winos Club would be repaid in full for the beating they'd given the constable. And the girls and I were about to be in the middle of this war. I wondered how far we were from the alternate route, and then decided it didn't matter at that point. The fastest way to get past this situation was to go through the town, but that meant clearing the people out of the way. So while Dave and the other Winos Club bikers revved their engines and the townspeople glared in reply, I swung my rifle up and fired two shots into the air.
He's going to shoot us all!
I won't, I said. Not if you step back and let us pass.
Please,
the priest begged as he raised his hands.
Let us discuss this.
There's nothing to discuss, I said. We don't have any food we can share, and we're not letting you take our equipment. So I'm going to ask you politely to get the fuck out of our way, or else we'll start shooting. Heiwan and Becca both raised their rifles as well, and the crowd in front of us began to murmur. It was hard to tell what they would do, since the people seemed to be equally split between angry and afraid. I looked over at Dave, but he still had an amused look on his face, like he couldn't believe the good folks of Balderton would actually consider attacking the gang.
Let's go,
Dave finally called out. The biker gang started forward, and the angrier people in the crowd refused to move. Someone swung a cricket bat at the head of a biker while someone else threw a rock. After that, it was pandemonium. The bikers started to yell as they turned on the locals, but the townsfolk fought back just as fiercely. The priest stood in the middle of it all and yelled at people to stop, but no one paid him any mind. The girls and I were on the fringe of the melee, and I pointed toward the field. I had some vague notion of finding a lane we could use to get around Balderton, but our escape didn't go unnoticed. A rock bounced off my bike, and Heiwan had to duck to avoid a heavy branch that someone tossed at her head. Still, we could have easily made our escape without any real damage, but I felt the ground shake and heard a familiar roar from much too close.
Diffo!
Becca warned as she looked around. The familiar narrow head with spiny crests appeared from the tree line and studied the people gathered on the road. It sniffed the air, and for a moment it seemed fascinated by the smoke that still rose from the fire. I hoped it might follow the scent of meat toward the flames, but the Dilophosaurus was clearly not big on cooked meat. As the crowd tried to scatter, the Diffo turned away from the fire and focused on the humans that were running in every direction. The bikers probably thought they had the advantage, and Dave quickly had his gang members back on their vehicles and ready to leave. But as the first bikes revved their engines and started to move, the Diffo ran across the field in a time that Usain Bolt would have envied. I saw one local get crushed underfoot as the Diffo ran, and then the giant lizard released a wad of venomous spit that splattered across the road and landed on two of the bikes. The metal sizzled, and the rear tire on one bike started to go flat, while the other bike flipped over from the impact. The Diffo was nearly on the town by then, and I'd barely had time to point the rifle in its direction. I managed to fire a round before the girls opened fire with their automatics, and I saw the bullet smash into the Diffo's chest. A hole opened and blood poured out a moment later, but the monster didn't notice. It charged ahead even as the shots from the automatic rifles tore into its hide. It finally came to a stop close to the fire and looked down at its chest. I took that opportunity to line up a shot to the top of the head, right between the two crests. Before it could look up, I pulled the trigger and felt the rifle kick against my shoulder. A heartbeat later, the bullet found its mark, and the top of the Diffo's head exploded in a gory gray and red mass. The dino deflated and collapsed to the ground just a few feet from the blazing fire.
Is it just me, or are these things getting harder to kill?
I think you may be right. I don't think we had to use so much ammo on the other Diffos.
I'm not sure, I hedged. I think they always take a lot of bullets. By then, I noticed the other sounds around us. People wailed and begged for help. The bonfire popped and sizzled, and motorcycle engines idled nearby. I turned to look at what had been the site of the brawl and saw bodies sprawled everywhere, both biker and local, and the priest moved slowly among all of them. Keep an eye on the fire, I told the girls, as I started to walk away. I walked over to the priest and helped him pull a middle-aged woman with a bloody shoulder into a sitting position. The dinosaur is dead, I said.
Yes, thank you for that,
the priest replied. I am sorry about the plan to steal, but we are down to nothing. Most of the crops have been lost. The dinosaurs have taken most of our animals, and what they leave behind is poisoned.
We are not much better off, I said. We've been making do with what we find on the road.
Yes, well, I understand, he sighed. I don't suppose you would consider keeping this to yourself.
Who would I report it to? I sighed. It's not like there are any authorities around here.
They had worse plans, the priest admitted. But I managed to talk them out of that. Robbing travelers and then setting them on the road out of town was the least offensive plan I could get them to agree to.
I nodded and then walked over to Dave. The leader of the bikers was gathered with the rest of the Winos Club near a pair of the wounded members. Dave himself sported a serious-looking burn along his scalp, and I noticed he had a limp when he walked.
"You saved us again," Dave said with a grin. "If you stick around, we'll make you official members of our club."
"It's tempting," I said. "But we'd really like to keep going. What are you and the rest of the Winos Clubbers going to do?"
"I think we fared better than the locals," he said with a grin. "I don't think they'll be up for a rumble now."
"Talk to the priest," I suggested. "Maybe they can help you out tonight, and in return you could, I don't know, hunt dinosaurs until you're ready to leave."
"Maybe,"
Dave conceded. "I doubt you're up for a rumble either," I pointed out.
"True enough," Dave said. "Our bikes will need some work before we can go on."
"I'd stay, but we really need to get to Lincoln as quickly as we can," I replied.
"Fair enough. I don't have much to offer you as thank you, except for a bit of advice about the road to Newark."
"I'll take it," I said, when the impressively bearded man hesitated.
"The A46 is north of Newark," the biker said, "so there's no need to go through the town proper."
"So we should avoid the town proper," I prodded.
"Well, the area around the castle," Dave said.
"Why's that?" I asked.
"It's haunted," he said.
"The whole town?" I asked in surprise.
"Well, mostly the castle," he said.
I stared at the biker in surprise, since the man, who could have been Blackbeard's modern twin, hardly looked like the kind of guy to believe in ghosts, or be intimidated by them.
"Sure, we'll just avoid going by the castle," I finally said. "It's Prince John, you know," he added quietly. "A nasty piece of work when he was alive, and just as nasty after he passed on."
"I'll keep that in mind," I assured him as I started to walk away.
"So, what's the plan, Captain?"
Becca teased when I rejoined the girls.
"I think the Winos Club is staying here for a few days," I said as I watched Dave cautiously approach the priest. "I told them we would be going on."
"Good,"
Heywan said.
"I like it better when it's the three of us. I didn't like traveling as such a big group."
"Neither did I,"
Becca agreed.
"And I doubt any of that sorry lot could protect us as well as you do."
I grinned and looked back at my two girls. Oh, Dave did offer one piece of advice, I said, as I climbed onto my bike. "We're supposed to avoid the castle."
"Why?"
Heywan asked.
"It's haunted."
"You knew?" I asked in surprise.
"Every bloody castle in England is haunted. Even if it's to some poor sword who fell off the battlement after a night of drinking. So, who's supposed to be haunting Newark's castle, then?"
"Prince John himself. Or, I guess I should say, King John. He was a king, after all, when he died."
"A piss poor one,"
Becca replied.
"I know King John. Richard the Lionheart's brother, who conspired to keep Richard as a prisoner in Germany while John ruled in England."
"That's the guy," I said.
"He also died of dysentery,"
Heywan added.
"TMI. I don't need to know the details."
"Well, maybe we can ask him in person," I teased, as I started the engine on my bike.
"I thought we were avoiding the castle,"
Becca sniffed. "We'll just have to see," I replied with a laugh. I should have known better than to tempt the fates. In a world filled with dinosaurs, why shouldn't King John be roaming the scene of his less than heroic death?